Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning, 810 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News. Foggy this morning. A dense fog advisor is in effect until 9 a.m., so please drive wisely. Lisa Newell is the publisher of the Gulf Breeze News. She always joins us on a Thursday at this time to give us a preview of what's in the paper. And this segment is brought to you by Dale's Marine Construction. You can live the dock life with Dale's Marine Construction. Lisa, welcome back to the show.
Hey, welcome back to the work week and school, and everything is kind of getting back, and it's kind of a stabilizing effect because we have a routine. I think everyone benefits from a little bit of a routine sometimes. So
I'm not sure what you mean by that.
That we're all
I feel like that's
work.
Personal. So you guys have a story about Gulf Breeze first businesses. Is that right? And it's in a book?
One of the first businesses in Gulf Breeze was the Bocas Jordan Pharmacy. And it was like the place to go. It was the hub. It was everything. They had a little soda fountain in there. You could go in there and buy gifts. They had just everything was there. And the pharmacist, Max Jordan, he is now in his 90s, and he wrote a book with the help of his daughter and son, who are both, very prominent in the community as well. And talking about some of the early days of Gulf Breeze, it's six chapters, and it kind of talks about how they, how they brought the an idea to come to Gulf Breeze, which at the time was really not a community. It was sort of just a camping area. Very few people live here. But that was a very important part of the foundation of Gulf Breeze. And so that book is now out. And, of course, everyone is clamoring to get a copy of it to find out what it was like pre-modern times.
So like a view of the history of Gulf Breeze as seen through the lens of one proprietor.
Exactly.
Oh,
exactly.
That's so cool. I love
the
that.
The Bocas is in the Jordans. Yes, it's been around for a long time. Yes, so very interesting. And even today, when you say Bocas Jordan Pharmacy, people still remember that, even though it has not been around for years. But we're CVS is pretty much right now in Gulf Breeze.
We have another story about the Soundside School District that's going to be set, what, middle of the month?
No, actually Thursday, they are going to decide.
Oh, next week. Okay, all right.
Are going to go there. Yes, we wanted to make sure people know they already hired their football coach, their principal. In fact, we found out the principal is down there without any running water, so she's trying to stay in, trying to get boxes together. It must be really weird to be in a big old school like that, three-story school with no students, but they're trying to get things organized for the school starting next fall. All they have to do now is determine which students are going to go there. And we did publish some of the considerations, the maps that show the considerations. And, of course, some people love them and some people don't. And, we've had a lot of different opinions about that, whether they want their kids to go to Gulf Breeze High, Navarre High, or Soundside High. So if you have any opinions about that, you should go to the public meeting next week on the 15th. We have all the details in the Gulf Breeze News about that as well.
County Commission's having a big meeting this morning. One of the things they're going to deal with is the conservation area. Is that right?
Yes. In fact, it's on the consent agenda. All of the commissioners have voted and expressed their approval for it. Unless anything happens, it is a done deal. And that is some area behind the zoo. It is a very important piece of property for conservation. And this is something that Save Our Soundside, some of the members of Save Our Soundside actually donated some of their funds, $150,000, to go along with $425,000 from the county's conservation fund and $425,000 from the tree mitigation fund in order to purchase this property for $1 million. Commission Chair Colton Wright, who represents Gulf Breeze, he said this is one of the most important things he's done in his time on the commission, and he hopes that once that they'll have like a ribbon cutting or something down there, which I don't know how we'll get there. It's kind of a secluded area, but it's very important for sea life and also for trees and the whole biome. So very important that they've done this, and salute them for that as well. And it's a public-private partnership.
Yeah, you're going to laugh. I don't think you were at the American Magic thing yesterday, but Collier Merrill had kind of called out Colton Wright for, you know, for being there, and he actually made a comment that was sort of relevant to this.
That's dangerous when somebody just points and I'm supposed to know who that is. But Colton Wright's actually a good one and a good environmentalist.
He called Colton Wright a good environmentalist, and I thought, don't say it out loud in Santa Rosa County. No, but like, there's a lot of work the county commission is doing for environmentalist stuff, right?
Well, this is certainly a very important piece of legislation. A lot
Absolutely.
Of people have been very upset about the overgrowth and the, you know, the traffic situation, and you know how we're just continually clear cutting. This comes up all the time. So this definitely does make a very good concession to those concerns.
Most definitely. You guys also have a story about the League of Women Voters and freedom of the press coming up?
That's right. On Saturday, League of Women Voters is going to host a symposium about the importance of the freedom of the press, and they invited me to speak. Rick Outson. Also, Rick Outson, who, of course, is another radio personality and a newspaper editor. And so that's going to be at Everman's in their little outbuilding there at 11 a.m. And we're going to just talk about the freedom of the press. And I'm going to hopefully not get stumped on anything. Might be interesting just to see if I mess up on anything. But I invite the public to come out. League of Women Voters does a tremendous job educating the public. It is a nonpartisan group. It tries to educate voters. It tries to get people to register to vote, reminds people to re-register for your mail-in ballots, things like that. They really research a lot of the things that are coming up in the state and national politics.
Absolutely.
See, you know, the implications.
Wonderful. Well, good stuff. Lisa Newell is the publisher of the Gulf Breeze News. A paper comes out every Thursday. She gives us a preview of it in the morning around 8:10. Lisa, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for reporting on so many local things, keeping us informed, and we'll see you next week. Talk to you next week.
And I hope to see you on Saturday, if possible, or in the Breeze.
Yes, ma'am. 8:16 on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now, but if you were on Highway 29 southbound headed toward Nine Mile Road, expect about a 5-minute delay in that area. 90, 98, the rest of 29 is all looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Dale's Marine Construction has been building high-quality waterfront structures in Escambia and Santa Rosa counties for 35 years, making Dale's Marine the leading marine contractor for seawall projects, riprap, docks, boathouses, and boat lifts. From planning and permitting through construction, the experienced foremen at Dale's Marine Construction are true craftsmen who do the job right. Get your dream waterfront installation started today and live the dock life with Dale's Marine Construction.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru. The men and women here at Anderson Subaru are committed to the Subaru Love Promise, a promise between us and our communities, a promise to make the Gulf Coast a better place to live, to work, and to play. And we're proud of what we've accomplished. From our ongoing support of the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association and Ascension Sacred Heart to volunteering with Feeding the Gulf Coast, we've conducted clothing drives for Loaves and Fishes and charity auctions for Gulf Coast Kids House, and we support Sherwood Elementary School in multiple ways. We're committed to the pets in our communities, too, by supporting dog adoption events with Phoenix Rising Rescue, Barktoberfest with Pensacola Humane Society, and Potty Gras with Wolfgang Park and Brews. And the love continues. Through donations, volunteering, and monetary support, Anderson Subaru is making a difference in the lives of our neighbors and our community. The Subaru Love Promise. That's a promise we intend to keep at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Sunday afternoon, the American Red Cross is offering adult and pediatric CPR classes. Upon completion, participants receive a two-year certification meeting national requirements. See redcross.org for more. Each January, the Quayside Art Gallery showcases artists who joined the gallery in the previous year. Check out the local talent all month long at the gallery on Zaragoza Street. See quaysidegallery.com for more info. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Start your mornings off informed with all things Pensacola on the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Put that coffee down. Coffee's for closers only.
Good morning, 820 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. If you hear that chittering in the background, we have, I don't know if that's a word, but I made it up. We have the folks
is
in leadership.
That a word?
Chittering, twittering, teetering. I don't, there's got to be a word in there somewhere, don't you think?
I don't know.
Come on, John, you're from the South. You make up words all the time.
Well, I know that, but that's not one of them.
Anyway, Leadership Pensacola is running through the studio this morning and getting a sense of what live radio looks like. I hope it's entertaining to them. Let's see. In the newsroom, we got PJ sitting in for David Wayne this morning with our headlines. PJ?
Thanks, Andrew. President Trump says that Venezuela will only be buying American-made products with the money they receive from the new oil deal. Trump took to Truth Social to say that those products will include agriculture products, medicines, medical devices, and energy equipment. He said that the country is making a wise choice in choosing to make the U.S. their main partner. Governor Ron DeSantis announced yesterday he plans to call a special legislative session in April to redraw Florida's congressional districts. DeSantis says he wants to wait for a possible U.S. Supreme Court ruling on a key provision of the Voting Rights Act that could affect one or two Florida districts. Currently, Republicans hold 20 of Florida's 28 congressional seats.
Yeah, this has been the real challenge in district drawing is whether you are supposed to or even allowed to use race as a consideration. As we saw in Alabama, we've seen this elsewhere, and certainly in Florida, you get those really wonky looking districts because you're trying to make sure that black people, for example, get their representation. But then again, it seems like some elements of the law make it seem like you're not allowed to consider race. You can consider party, for example. An additional wrinkle in Florida is we actually have a prohibition against using partisanship as a basis for drawing districts. So what the Supreme Court winds up ruling on this case, which was very interesting in what we do here in Florida with it. You know, I know Lori Berman and the Democrats are saying that this is all illegal to have a mid-census redistricting. I think that it's smart to draw the districts again based on what the Supreme Court does. But you also have this ongoing discussion around the country, Texas, Illinois, other places redrawing their districts for purely partisan reasons. And of course, if we redraw them because of the race issue and they also get redrawn for partisan bonus, people are going to wonder which was the real motivation. So we'll see about that. Go ahead, PJ. You had another story?
All right. Finally, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are bringing back their Super Bowl winning head coach. The Tampa Bay Times reports that Todd Bowles avoided the axe. He met with ownership on Tuesday after the firing of Ravens coach John Harbaugh. Bowles earned a three-year extension last offseason but failed to make the playoffs this year. The 62-year-old helped guide the Bucs to Super Bowl 55 and their win over the Chiefs.
All right. Thanks so much, PJ. By the way, you've been doing great.
Thank you.
For first time doing news for me.
It is.
I mean, you've done news for like afternoon show and middays and stuff like that, but you've been it's so weird because PJ is always filling in for John as the producer.
Yeah, I'll be there tomorrow.
So yeah, right. So like you're the man of many hats. I'm used to seeing you over here, and now I'm seeing you over there. And now the Leadership Pensacola people don't know what I'm talking about, and it's fine. PJ, thanks for the update, man. I appreciate it. 8:23 on News Radio 92.3. The American Magic event, I think, was massive yesterday. We saw not just the opening of the Center for Maritime Excellence, which is great, the creation of new jobs, partnership with UWF and PSC. Kids are going to learn trades. It could be, and I've said this many times today, but this could be the beginning of a thing that you might look down the pipe 10 or 15 years and say, well, gee, we were there when Raytheon started. You know, we were there when Lockheed Martin started. We were there because it's the kind of company that could potentially develop into that, especially with the, you know, the money behind them from, you know, the DeVos family and all that. But that's one slice. The other slice is the racing catamarans, the 50-foot foiling catamarans that are going to be 60-mile-an-hour racing, practicing here on our bay in conjunction with American Magic, not under American Magic, but the, what is the GLP20. I always want to get the name wrong. SailGP, that's it, is the league that they represent. And they're going to have their year-round training center here, which is, I mean, that's just going to be another cool thing about sailing here in Pensacola. Plus, it's Triumph money, which comes from the BP oil spill. And that means that they're diversifying the economy, creating jobs. It's just, it's all, plus it didn't cost us, I mean, anything. Like, the city didn't put money into this. This is all Triumph and other money, and the city's going to owns the facility that exists on the port. So it's all good in my mind. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now, but if you're on 98 going westbound toward Gulf Breeze, you're going to see maybe a seven-minute delay in that area. I-10, I-110, they are all flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. You know, yesterday at this time, I think we were talking about my observation that if President Trump were to actually use military force against Greenland, that would, I mean, an aggression against a NATO member state. I consider that a 100% immediate impeachable offense. If he wants to buy it, I'm all for it. I mean, I love that idea. Buy it, great. Negotiate for it, great. And that's the distinction. But yesterday, Marco Rubio got asked this very question after he briefed Congress on the strikes in on the Venezuela extraction and other matters. He was asked specifically about Greenland and the refusal of the administration to remove military action from the consideration list.
Mr. Secretary, on Denmark. Why has the administration not taken Denmark's offer to discuss the situation in Greenland?
And I'll be meeting with them next week.
But will you take military intervention off the table?
I'm not here to talk about Denmark or military intervention. I'll be meeting with them next week. We'll have those conversations with them then. And but I'm not having anything further to add to that today.
Can you clarify your comments to lawmakers? Does the U.S. intend to buy Greenland? Does the U.S. intend to buy Greenland? Can you clarify your comments to lawmakers this week?
Well, that's always been the president's intent from the very beginning. He said it very early on. I mean, this is not new. He talked about it in his first term. And he's not the first U.S. president that is examined or looked at how could we acquire Greenland. There's an interest there. But so I just reminded them of the fact that not only did Truman want to do it, but President Trump's been talking about this since his first term.
Yeah, the idea of acquiring it from a strategic geographic like, where are hypersonics from Russia going to go if they're going to come here? Where are nukes going to go if they're going to come here? I mean, Greenland is the airspace. And so the ability to, Golden Dome protect us, if that ever comes to fruition, I have my doubts. But okay, Greenland would be a great place to base some of those assets. I mean, we have a base up there. The mineral reserves and all of that. So if we could acquire it, wonderful. I'm not saying we need a 51st state, but, you know, it'd be great as a territory to have. But the question of military action, they come back to this and ask him that specific issue, which, again, that is completely off the table. Unless you were able to, I mean, massive facts would have to change. I mean, they'd have to be a threat to the United States security. And I don't think that Greenland is a threat to the United States security. So we're never going to get there. But again, they pressed with the right question.
So the military option is on the table. So is the administration really willing to risk the NATO alliance by potentially moving ahead
with
military operations?
What I think the White House said yesterday is what I will tell you now, and I've always said. The president always retained the option. Every president, not this president, every president always retains the option. I'm not talking about Greenland. I'm just talking about globally. If the president identifies a threat to the national security of the United States, every president retains the option to address it through military means. As a diplomat, which is what I am now, and what we work on, we always prefer to settle it in different ways. That included in Venezuela. We tried repeatedly to reach an outcome here that did not involve having to go in and grab an indicted drug trafficker. Those were unsuccessful, unfortunately.
No. The president does not always retain the right to use military action. I mean, he's couching it in the terms of if we are, you know, if there's security threat to the United States. But, you know, we can't just act militarily against London or Paris or, you know, name an ally, Tokyo, currently an ally. At one time, they were not. But the point is, you don't retain the right to use military action against a whole range of people who are our allies or in general. Now, there's a sense in which he's right, that if they become a threat or there's something that is adverse to the security interests of the United States, yes, every nation, every sovereign has the right to defend themselves. But I would much rather hear Marco Rubio say something like, which he's not, unfortunately, but, you know, I'd much rather hear him say something like, no, we're obviously not going to invade Greenland. But, of course, President Trump has avoided saying that and always has this silly notion that we do retain that right all the time. And we do not, particularly against non-aggressor states and certainly not against NATO allies. 829 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you have a house you need to sell and you want somebody who's going to get you all the way to the closing, which I think most of us have that as a goal, there's not much fun in going 10 months with a house on the market and it doesn't sell. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty do this 200 times a year. So four homes a week on average they're selling. It was a little bit higher when the market was easy. It was like 230 one year, a couple years ago. Then it was 175 and then 165, but still a lot of homes. But this year, even in a down market where people are still struggling, home prices are up, interest rates are up, they sold 209 homes last year in 2025. That's amazing. 30% up in a down year. Why? Well, call her and ask. 786-3996. She'll answer your questions. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty. 8:30 almost here on News Radio 92.3. Oh, John, you remember the congestion pricing story in New York where
yes.
They're going to charge you more money to commute into the city and everybody kind of lost their mind like you're tolling entrance to New York? It's working. Uh-oh.
It is?
They say commute times are down, speed of travel rates are up on the bridges and commuter lanes. People are paying the money. It's a nice source of revenue for the city. Though everybody hates it.
Right.
I mean, everybody hates it. How dare you? It's working.
Working.
So, yay for them.
I'm Therese Crowley. Protesters descending on Minneapolis after Mayor Jacob Frey declared that ICE murdered a protester who gunned her SUV into ICE officers. Homeland Secretary Kristi Noem was asked if the agent used deadly force before or after Renee Good hit him with her SUV.
I know you keep asking that, but that doesn't mean that the FBI is going to give you an answer today. There will be an investigation. We want to make sure that it's factual.
Minnesota Governor Tim Walz.
Minnesotans, I say this. I feel your anger. I'm angry.
Put the Minnesota National Guard on alert with outside groups from No Kings to climate change to communists mobilizing protesters, including to New York City today. Secretary of State Rubio, already overseeing the interim government of Venezuela, plans to sit down with Denmark next week about the U.S. designs on Greenland, saying we prefer to settle without military force. America's listening to Fox News.
Well, good morning. It's 8:31, 65 degrees and cloudy skies. I'm PJ for News Radio 92.3. The Port of Pensacola celebrated a major milestone Wednesday with the unveiling of American Magic's new $20.8 million high-performance center. The 56,000-square-foot facility features racing yachts, repair rooms, and training space with direct access to Pensacola Bay. Mayor D.C. Reeves calls this a new chapter for Pensacola.
And through 466 years, Pensacola's lifeblood has been tied to this body of water. In 1784, we built our first commercial dock. A Navy yard was constructed in 1826. In the early 1900s, 16 wharves lined the city's coastline, building community wealth through the timber trade. And it hasn't all been easy. Docks sustained fires. Our port has withstood and thrived through waves of environmental and economic change. But today is a monumental new chapter in Pensacola's maritime history.
The center will support training, watercraft development, manufacturing, and ocean science research. American Magic also announced a partnership with SailGP, which features 13 teams competing globally and will use this facility as home base for the next 5 years. The center creates 170 high-paying jobs with average salaries exceeding $100,000. Midway Water Systems is asking a Santa Rosa County judge for a new trial in a case where the utility was held responsible for raw sewage entering home water systems in Gulf Breeze. Midway's lawyers cite alleged juror misconduct, claiming the foreign woman knew a plaintiff but failed to disclose it during jury selection, obtained outside legal information and shared it with jurors, and heard private judge-attorney conversations. They also allege she pressured jurors to reach a verdict by November 20th to attend her son's birthday party. The jury awarded $37.49 million in damages in November, with Midway responsible for $22.1 million. A hearing is scheduled for January 23rd. The Escambia County Sheriff's Office is searching for 48-year-old Quincy Gerald Hollins for attempted homicide. Authorities say Hollins approached a woman's car at McDonald's on Michigan Avenue and Mobile Highway Wednesday around 9 a.m. and fired one shot. The victim wasn't hit, but her vehicle was damaged. She then drove across the street to Publix and called deputies. Investigators recovered a shell casing at the scene. Hollins is wanted for attempted homicide with domestic violence, felony criminal mischief, and possession of a firearm by a convicted felon. He should be considered dangerous. Anyone with information should contact the Escambia County Sheriff's Office or Crime Stoppers. The University of West Florida won't look far to find its next president. The Pensacola School is expected today to name interim president Manny Diaz Jr. as its president. The former state education commissioner will get a base salary of $674,000, and his total compensation will be close to $1 million. The State Board of Governors has to approve the hire before it becomes official. Diaz would become the seventh president in school history. The conversion of local Winn-Dixie stores into Aldi's continues. The Winn-Dixie store in Cantonment is the latest conversion. The store will close mid-March to begin its conversion. A Southeastern grocer says all associates received advance notice and will have the opportunity to apply for jobs at the new Aldi or transfer to another Winn-Dixie location. The timeline for the conversion hasn't been announced. The Winn-Dixie on East 9 Mile Road closed last September and reopened as an Aldi in March. Aldi plans to convert its remaining 220 Winn-Dixie and Harvey's locations into Aldi stores by 2027. It's 8:35. Let's take a look at your traffic with John Pickens.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110, 90, 98, 29. All the numbers are looking good. No delays. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you, John. Let's take a look at your weather.
We are under a dense fog advisory this morning. Fog should burn off as you go into the late morning with a small chance of a isolated sprinkle. Otherwise, cloudy skies, high today near 75 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 64. We're still looking at a small chance of rain for that Friday. 20% chance of rain, high near 74. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 67. Heading into Saturday, 80% chance of those showers moving through, especially as we head into the afternoon and evening, high near 72. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 48. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you, Brooke. It's 65 Pensacola. 65 Milton, 64 in Gulf Breeze.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. India's antitrust watchdog says a law used to calculate fines based on a company's global turnover will discourage breaches by multinationals, opposing Apple's high-profile challenge to the measure. In November, Apple asked New Delhi judges to strike down the 2024 law. Volvo Cars said its new midsize electric SUV, which launches later this month, will offer a driving range of just over 500 miles on a single charge, as it seeks to win over buyers skeptical of EVs. Car makers globally have struggled to accelerate electric vehicle adoption as consumers remain wary of limited charging infrastructure. Rivian Automotive is recalling more than 19,000 previously serviced R1S and R1T electric vehicles in the U.S., citing incorrectly assembled rear toe link. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration said the automaker will replace the part free of charge. Futures are slightly lower. Wednesday, the Dow Industrials lost 466. That's Your Money Now.
Greater Pensacola's leaders are in the tallest buildings and smallest shops. And they come together here to drive growth in innovation, to bridge industries, to share fresh ideas, and to understand how they can play a part in Greater Pensacola's success. The Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. We believe local businesses are the cornerstone of a great community.
It all comes down to this, folks.
Yep, the entire season is on the line. But my throat has officially thrown in the towel.
Sounds like you need Vicks VapoCool drops. They're max strength, hand vaporized sore throat pain.
Whoa! These VapoCool drops hit fast!
Speaking of fast, did you just see that play?
Yeah, he vaporized that ball.
That pun should have come with a penalty.
Vaporize sore throat pain with Vicks VapoCool drops. Use as directed.
Do you have questions regarding your plants and landscaping? If so, the Garden Line is for you. I am Mike Wiggins, and every Tuesday morning at 9, we are here for you on News Radio 92.3 to answer your questions. Seasonal changes call for different activities in your lawn and garden, so tune in and text or call with your questions on the Garden Line on Tuesdays at 9 and an encore each Saturday at the same time.
The Garden Line on the Pensacola Expert Panel, Tuesdays at 9 on News Radio 92.3.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah.
I'm going to have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot.
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
All right, we have a studio audience today, which is a little bit unusual. We have the leadership Pensacola class of 2025, I'm guessing? 2026? I don't know. 26, okay.
Get it right.
The most average class ever. Just kidding. Kidding.
Oh, no.
I'm from 2016, best class ever. So if you hear laughter or weird noises.
Right here.
I didn't even hear that, Meg. Uh-huh. So question of the day, frivolous question of the day. This is John's suggestion.
What?
He probably doesn't remember, but that's okay.
No,
he won't when I bring
don't.
It up. What are the rules, if any, regarding the double dip of the chip? 4, Ooh. 3, 7, 16, 20. Let's start with the basic. If you have your own bowl of, I don't know, queso or buffalo
salsa.
Dip or salsa or guac or whatever, do you double dip your own chip in your own bowl? And then let's talk community, you know, behavior. To what degree, if ever, is it allowable to reinvest, so to speak,
reinvest.
Draw second dividends, however you want to describe it. 4, 3, 7, 16, 20. This was John's suggestion, so if it's great, he can take the credit, and if it's terrible,
not,
then he can blame me.
Nice.
All right. Yeah, so that's how that
so
works. That's Meg,
you.
By the way.
It's so sweet.
All right, John, so in your own, like, it's just a bowl of buffalo dip sitting on your chest as you're watching football tonight, you know, watching
right.
Ole Miss
yeah.
contend.
Win.
Okay.
Win.
Whatever. You
okay.
know,
yeah.
I'm fine with that.
Okay.
Double dip a chip in your own bowl?
No.
Even in your own bowl?
Right. Because, get this, because then you'll get in the habit of doing it.
You can't trust
and
yourself.
And then when you're with the community bowl, oh boy.
You can't make the difference?
Some people can't in this world.
You don't know how to like swear in private and not in public? You don't know how to double dip in private and not double dip in public?
Well, you know, you teach yourself every day.
Oh, so. That's true. That's
Why
true.
Why do I suspect that Andrew double dips in other areas of his life?
Whoa.
That sounds like a legal issue quite
yeah.
okay,
it really
Meg?
Does. Got your limitations.
I mean, most philosophies prevail, right?
No, fair enough. All right, so Meg, are you a... First of all, so I know John would never double dip in public in any way. Therefore, he practices... good behavior
well,
in private.
You have to. Because it'll lead to good
I'm just,
behavior.
All the things I know about you are making me laugh
I know,
about this
it's
answer
making
right
me
now.
Funny.
Meg, 4, 3, 7, 16, 20 if you want to weigh in on this, by the way. 4, 3, 7, 16, 20 Meg?
I personally think it qualifies on the chip and the dip.
Tell me more.
So in other words, if it's salsa or you know, like a salsa sauce and a tortilla chip, that you have to double dip on that because you can never get quite enough salsa on the chip.
Oh, we need to teach you how to dip better.
Maybe, but now when it comes to like sour cream and onion dip and a potato chip, you got to get it in a good amount on that first dunk.
Okay.
Right?
Now,
and
you don't go
alone,
back for more.
Not for that. But if you and then guacamole, it's really rude to double dip because there's always never
okay,
enough guacamole.
I think the best test case for this, although it might strike you
why
as a weird one.
Why can't you just break your chip?
Oh, what?
Yeah,
what?
Break it. That way you can...
What are you eating that requires a third of a tortilla chip to dip into?
Well, mine are big, so...
How big?
Well, pretty big.
I'm so baffled by this answer. I mean, are you
okay.
like non-bread-sized chips over here? What are you
just
doing?
Just a little small, you know, the big
okay.
tortilla chips.
Okay.
Not the little small
I seriously, well, like
ones.
The bowl? Like the
yeah,
tostada but, bowl? Is that what you use?
Yeah, we'll just go on, yeah. I was just trying to offer solutions.
Okay, so I'm trying to think about what kind of, I don't know, medium you're using to get into the dip with that would want you to use it more than once. And a chip is so small, you wouldn't really, if you do it well, you don't need to double dip that. But like a piece of celery would go in, you bite, and then what? Or something larger, like a, like I said, a piece of naan bread or a flatbread or a pita, not a pita chip, but a full pita. You know, these are things that are,
well,
it's a piece.
A whole
we were
thing.
Talking
we're,
about chips.
Yeah, well, all of a sudden we're into fondue
we're in this,
and.
It's not fun. Okay, fair enough. It's fondue. All right, you're right.
I mean, you know, that's a whole nother like topic.
Okay. Let's imagine.
Uh-oh.
I come to you with a piece of celery. You're watching me from afar. I come with a piece of celery into my, I don't know, the cream cheese dip that's at the, you know.
No,
at the,
you
at the
don't
party.
Dip.
No, listen, hear me out. Dip in one end, I bite. The shreds, the saliva, it's all hanging off there the way it is after you've made an unclean break. I then,
right,
the sound
right.
of gagging from behind me is killing.
I'm so glad they're here. Y'all are validating me so much.
Imagine then. That I reverse my field of play and I turn the thing around and I go from the other end of the celery. The clean end.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. Your fingers. Yes.
Elton's got there with the barbecue answer. It's not clean. Well, then it wasn't clean to begin with, was it? I got a mixture of opinions on this.
There's a big difference between salary and chip.
You know what the issue here is?
What?
I know how people will perceive it, and so I behave accordingly.
Well, I'm glad you learned where I'm
at. But if I'm at home, anything goes. A chip, a second chip, a pita, a second piece of the pita, a finger, whatever. Whatever needs to go in the bowl to get the job done. It doesn't matter to me.
Don't look at me when you say that.
If you get down to the end of the very good guacamole, do you use a finger to scoop out the rest, or do you go get a spatula? What do you do?
Not in public.
Well, I'm not... Okay, either way.
I worry about you sometimes because a lot of this has to come down to just manners. We've had several discussions this week about things that are related to manners.
Yeah.
437-1620. We'll get your text in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now, nor delays. Looks like I-10, I-110, 2990, 98 are all looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
All right, Eldon, I got to ask you this question. When you're at the party, do you put on a pair of latex gloves before you handle the celery or the pita bread?
Yes.
No, you do not.
The answer was yes.
Yeah, I mean, standard food safety, bro.
Right.
Really? At home?
Exactly.
No, not at home, but when you're working, right?
Can I say most of this is solved by the fact that a decent person puts the dip in a bowl and then attacks it privately in a public space, though, right? That's fine. That's different. I don't even know when you would like communal dip anyway.
In a restaurant, mostly. Well, or if you're watching a football game and you put a whole bunch of...
Don't you still at a restaurant put some of it on your plate and then take from that?
Why?
Why? No.
To avoid the problems that have been describing.
I mean, this sounds really frivolous. I'm just saying.
Yes! Absolute success! That is the point of the segment.
We've attained
the goal. All right. Back to the text, or to the text for the first time. I'm beginning to be annoyed. Oh, that's a DeSantis comment. Yeah. All right. That's substantial.
Go on.
Yeah, okay. All right. Let's see. No doubling in the public trough. Family is different. Oh, good question.
Well, that's true.
Do you share saliva with family? Or the possibility of saliva with family? Meg, you look so uncomfortable. Here's what I think this means. You don't want to admit it.
No. I was just had an image over the holidays. I was around a bunch of little kids.
Okay.
And once they're in the dip, I'm out.
Oh, well, yeah.
Because there's fingers and sneezing and cold, you know, all that.
I avoid sharing anything with the doorknob lickers. Yeah.
Correct.
No, and that's, and so, they I mean, are.
This is all qualified by certain circumstances.
I mean, you know, your average kid might actually add a flavoring to the dip, right?
Correct. So, that's what I'm talking about.
Because there's a, I'm not going to get into the details. I think y'all can use your imagination. let's see. Somebody says, I only dip in my own bowl. Community never, as your saliva gets into the dip. I would double dip my own bowl or double dip if eating some queso with my wife and daughter, but that would be about it. There's the family exception, sure. I think it's, this is a total, we've actually done this as a topic before. I think it's hilarious that there are people who will not share food bites with their spouse. That cracks me up.
Well, I mean, you could have a little piece, but
think about it.
I don't mean
you won't let them have some of the food. I mean that it grosses you or them out to bite where they bit. I mean,
you know, that's a whole nother topic.
I mean, people think about it.
Ooh. That's a whole nother topic.
That's a whole nother 30
chip
minutes.
I'm getting side-eyed, not even from John this time. I love it. If the chip is too big for one bite, break it. You do that with the non-bread. You do that with the celery, if we go back to those examples. I will absolutely double dip if it's my own bowl. If I'm with friends, I will break the chip to keep from double dipping. Let's see. Double dipping chips demonstrates a deplorable lack of coverage planning. It's an engineering issue. That's right. Mm-hmm. When properly planned, each dip should have the perfect condiment amount for the chip in question. Besides, who's got time to double dip when there are kids around scarfing down the dip? Oh, yeah, you got to act fast.
You
won't get your share. That's true. What if you're sharing a dip with your significant other? That's what I'm saying. I mean, anybody you kiss, you should be willing to share food with. I don't get why you wouldn't, you know, whatever. You do you. Once you dip and eat, just lick whatever you're eating and dip again.
Oh, see, there you go. Oh. There it is.
It brings a whole new meaning to the phrase lipstick. Kids and dips are a different thing. They get their own bowl of queso at the restaurant.
Smart. There you go.
Very smart.
A planner.
My wife doesn't even want me to put my...
Go ahead.
Tongue.
Careful. Mm-hmm.
to connect with her in a way that's, I can't get, there's no way to, anyway, they don't like to kiss much. Okay, so 849 here on News Radio 92.3. What, we can't end with that?
What?
Come on.
Looking for reliable auto repairs without breaking the bank?
Well, yeah.
At Affordable Automotive, we keep your car and your budget running smooth.
That's more like it.
Hi, I'm Kenny with Affordable Automotive in Gulf Breeze. My father started this business over 30 years ago, and we continue to proudly serve the Gulf Coast with trusted local service. Whether you're a first-time or returning customer, we inspect each vehicle like it's our own. From oil changes, engine replacements, and diagnostics, our certified techs do it right the first time. Fast, honest, and fair, just like auto service should be. So if your car needs care, bring it to Affordable Automotive in Gulf Breeze, a mile west of the Gulf Breeze Zoo. Visit us at AffordableAutomotiveGulfBreeze.com and schedule your appointment today. That's AffordableAutomotiveGulfBreeze.com. Affordable Automotive. Quality you can afford.
There are a lot of questions about roof replacement in the news lately, such as insurance companies demanding replacement before they cancel coverage to companies not doing the job that they sold to you. Make sure you tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9:30 as Quality Roofing Solutions will answer your questions. Find out what makes Quality Roofing Solutions the premier contractor in Florida today at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10 before WEAR TV News on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Hello.
It's Charlie Angel. Time to go to work.
Good morning, 8:51, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. Let it be the good part. Yeah. Every once in a while, you just have to let the music play.
I know.
If you're going to play the Van Halen, you got to listen to the Van Halen. Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. We have the leadership class of 2026 is here in studio with me. So if you hear them making noise in the background, you guys can get shout. Yeah, that's good. Do you enjoy that frivolous topic?
Yes.
See, they're all back there arguing about chips and dip and playing off of it and going on the other directions and, you know, drawing diagrams and, you know, I don't know. It's a wild class. I kind of like your all's vibe. This is kind of an odd little story and, you know, we haven't talked about it yet. John, did you have Legos as a kid?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody has Legos as a kid. It should be a law. Everybody gets Legos of some kind, right? Legos have come out with a new kind of brick, the most significant innovation that they have probably done ever. You know, and they've done other things, you know, with other, not the bricks themselves. And, of course, they've got the play sets that are thematic based on Seinfeld or Harry Potter or whatever, Star Wars. This is a completely different direction for them. Their innovation is they have bricks apparently that are powered, that make sounds, that are motion sensors, that react to the kids and interact with the kids. And I'm horrified. I'm 100% against it.
Just imagine, you know, you're walking down the hallway or something. And you're like, what?
Okay, hear me out on this. The point of the Lego is that it requires your active engagement. You have to invent the fantasy, the story, the event, the whatever. It's entirely based on you, the kid thinking about it. Lego bricks are like the old wood blocks, which I also believe kids ought to play with because it's all them. It's they're manipulating it. They're in control. The thing doesn't do anything back to them. It's pure imagination. It's pure active, not passive behavior. Having a brick that, you know, makes noise or interacts with you or is a motion sensor or whatever is just another version of a billion electronic toys that they don't need more of.
Yeah.
So, yes, I'm against it. Yeah. I think this is terrible. John?
You're against electric
Well, you know, that's true, too.
Your electronic toys to begin with.
Soon the AI brick that can make itself, that can do it, you know. No, but the very identity and the value of Lego is that it's not this. No. Now, that being said, I can't believe I'm going to say the other side. The other side is, if people want it and you're a company that makes things that people want,
you're going to do it.
Your job is to make things that people want. And gosh, Andrew, if you don't like it, well, don't buy any.
Right.
Well, I prefer a world in which the kids play with the regular bricks and not the smart bricks, is what they're calling them, smart bricks. And I find it a horrifying thing. 8:54 on News Radio. I just, you know, it's like, why would you destroy something that's so beautiful to begin with? Oh, let's see. Who watches late night TV? This is actually an audience question. How many of you watch Kimmel, Colbert, or Fallon, or anything at late night? They're getting rid of music. Kimmel is apparently going to 2 days a week having live music instead of the 4 days or 5 days right now.
Wait, are you talking about the band that plays, or the artists?
Both parts. Like, they're getting rid of the artist coming on, which is something they said they were committed to. Why? Because it's expensive and you got to have a production team. And so they're dropping that because it's not a very profitable endeavor anymore. Seth Meyers, I guess, doesn't have a band anymore. I haven't watched Seth Meyers in so long, I wouldn't even know. But the move away from live music, part of the issue is whether it's worth it in promotional value even to the artists, because reality, so few people are watching late night TV that it might not actually be worth it to them even to be doing this. So I don't know. I almost never watch the music acts. I usually, if I watch any of it, it's an interview that I think is going to be interesting, and then maybe segments of the monologue. The music is like, and usually I see an artist that I haven't heard in years, and I'll go watch the music segment, and I don't know.
It
doesn't work for me much, usually. I'm just saying it's disappointing. That's why I don't watch them very much. All right, John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now, nor delays. Everything is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. We haven't done a lot of talking about we've had so much to talk about the American Magic, and I'll just tell you, there's all kinds of other things that I have had to push off onto tomorrow's show because of it, which is fine. I mean, that's obviously a huge thing for this city and our community, and so talking about it doesn't bother me. But, I mean, I honestly had a whole show related to UWF that we didn't even get to today at all. And it's unfortunate because it's a very important topic. We'll try to get to it tomorrow. But, you know, we got Manny Diaz is getting voted on today by the Board of Trustees to become the president. That might be a relatively contentious meeting. He's going to get appointed. I mean, there's 0% chance he doesn't get appointed. 100% chance that all of the DeSantis appointees are going to vote for him. And I would suspect that most of the others will vote for him as well anyway. I mean, the real sort of oppositional members of the Board of Trustees have cycled off. And so I wouldn't be surprised if it's a unanimous vote at this point. There might be questions about pay. There might be questions about the charter school. There might be questions about, you know, hey, how is a guy who doesn't have a PhD able to run a school? Well, okay. Again, I have a whole lot of stuff to say about this. It's just not going to happen today. And again, I think today is largely going to be a formality when they wind up appointing him. And that bothers me. The process of how we got here bothers me a lot. But the fact that he's going to be the president doesn't bother me because I'm kind of optimistic about that. But the Minnesota thing, I've watched this video probably 20 times. And mostly because it's, like many of these videos, it's kind of hard to, first of all, it's hard to watch. I mean, you're watching somebody get killed. That's not normal to watch, you know? But also, like a lot of these videos, it's kind of hard to figure out exactly what happens in, you know, if you read one person's Twitter post on it, you get their slice. And if you read somebody else's Twitter post on it, you get their slice. And putting all of that together and trying to be, you know, honest about what actually happened here and admit the things that we don't know. Here's what I'll tell you I observed. Okay? I observed a woman who is in this car in the middle of the road where she shouldn't be when ICE is trying to operate. She waves a car past. Then the ICE agents stop and they get out of the car and they go. There's one guy who goes up to the door and one guy winds up going around the car to the other side and standing in front of the car, kind of on the driver's side of the other side. It's hard to see him in the main video that most people have seen. And they yell at her and they use profanity to get out of the car. And then I don't know if describing her as panicking is fair, but she is wanting to get out of there. She's scared. I'm not sure if panic is quite the right descriptor, but she backs the vehicle up. And then she throws it into drive and she drives forward. At that point, at that exact point, the wheels are still pointed a little bit to the left straight. So they're basically aiming at the ICE agent. But she immediately turns to the right to leave, and in that process, he shoots her one time. She does run into him to some degree. There's a distant video from the other angle where you can see it. It's hard to tell how violent of an engagement that was. He shoots twice as she's going past. Of course, then she runs off into another car, and she winds up dying. It's horrible all around. I mean, there's no good thing you can say about this. And, you know, some people are saying that it was murder by the ICE agent. I don't believe that. Some people are saying this is what happens when you get a professional agitator. I don't believe. I just think it's just terrible all around. It's sad all around. The one observation that I made that it took me hearing it several times was the person who's videoing on the outside is actually yelling shame, shame before the shots happen. Here, I'll play it for you.
No! No! Shame! Shame!
And then she's horrified by it, but she's actually yelling before the shots happen, not only as a result of them. To whatever degree that factors into your analysis, it's a horrible event all around. It's just, it is a horrible event. Local.